from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. For nearly a decade, Yuma native Daniel Sanchez has worked at YPG as an Aviation Division Test Officer and now in the post's Technology and Investments Directorate. A mechanical engineer, he's also heavily involved in attempting to inspire the next generation of YPG technicians. How familiar were you with YPG growing up in Yuma?
So, I'll be honest with you, Mark, I had no idea that YPG actually existed growing out here in Yuma. I mean, ever since elementary school, middle school, high school, like, the only base that I knew existed was the Marine base. Yuma and the Army were really not on my radar at that time. It was at, like, early 1990s, 2000s. So, I had no idea until I was in college and I started researching jobs and positions that YPG actually was out here.
With your mechanical engineering degree in hand from ASU, you started testing rockets at an Army base. What was going through your mind when you started?
Well, as a brand new individual in the workforce, I never expected to do that line of work at all. I know, thanks to, you know, my capstone project and everything that, you know, ASU offered me, testing was engineer was one of the positions that you could utilize, but I didn't know that testing engineering was going to be so much fun. I mean, at the end of the day, I knew that, you know, non-destructive testing occurred and, you know, everything that is in a very tame lab environment, but actually testing things at real time and live was completely different. So coming out here and being shown onto the range in the middle of a desert to an excluded facility that was dedicated for rocket launches was definitely a unique experience. And just seeing the rocket go down range and seeing how methodical everything was, where, like, okay, you're going to be writing this information down, that you're going to get this data set, you're going to get this and that, is kind of was expected, but actually doing it real time and live was completely different. And that's when I started realizing, like, back in those days, I would watch a lot of Mythbusters. And I realized one of the quotes that stuck with me that was entirely true is the difference between having fun and science is you just need to write it down. And that's what I felt like I was. That was my first rocket shoot. It's like, oh, I'm actually doing testing. I'm actually doing science. And the only difference between, you know, having fun and seeing things blow up, ultimately, is I just need to write down data points.
You made a name for yourself as the Rocket Man pretty quickly. So is it difficult to walk away from that and switch over to the Technology and Investments Directorate?
So the Rocket Man name didn't get popular, if you will, if it wasn't until Paula Rickliff got her hands on me to work on pretty much the GEMS outreach program. And at that point, when I was told, like, hey, like, you know, they're looking for classes, it's like, hey, let's do like a little model rocket and, you know, here we go. And so that's where the name originated from. And Paula being Paula, she pretty much was able to broadcast that to the entire, you know, range, to the entire of YPG. So ultimately, that's where the name came from, besides all my years of, you know, actually being the Rockets Me here at YPG. And so making that shift wasn't too difficult, per se. My time as a rocket engineer was pleasant. It was fun, very enjoyable and rewarding. However, I personally was seeking more. I wanted help out an organization that helped me out. The best way I thought about doing that is to try to seek a promotion. However, that didn't seem to be within the realm of possibilities at the time I was there. And seeing the opening in TID was fantastic because it offered me everything that I was looking for in regards of, like, let's try to get a bigger picture, a bigger view, and go from, you know, an anthill of a view all the way to let's now see the whole entire backyard. So it definitely opened my eyes, and the transition itself, work-wise, was definitely interesting because every day I was used to, okay, I'm going to come in, I'm going to commit my test, I'm going to write my data points, and then I'm going to write my report and call it a good day. And now it's like, well, no, let's not do that anymore. Let's go ahead and take it a step further. Let's go ahead and now research technology. Let's go ahead and look at what headquarters' visions are for modernization. How does that align with, you know, what we currently have, and how can we make that alignment occur in real time?
You're absolutely at the forefront of modernization, and it must be a pretty exciting time to be seeing what's coming around the bend.
So it definitely is. Seeing the technology that's out there and available, what we are currently investing in as well, of like, you know, what our needs are and what modernizations there are. There is a lot of things that we know that we should be modernizing, and we're getting after them, depending on what the Army is trying to accomplish by 2030. And being able to not only see this ideology of a wonderful support workforce that we have, and taking it, understanding the variety of different equipments, assets, what their qualifications, specifications are, how they meet not only the current mission, but they're going to help meet us in, you know, the next mission that's up and coming, whatever that mission really is, has been extremely exciting.
When we're talking about the future of tests at YPG, recruiting a good, solid workforce for years to come fits in with that. Now, you've been, as you mentioned, with the GEMS program, you've been supporting the very, very cutting edge end of that for some years now with these 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students that come here in the summertime for the GEMS program.
I would say helping others educationally has always been a passion of mine, ever since, you know, being a tutor in college and now also being a part-time professor at NAU. I've always enjoyed, you know, educating the next generation on whatever it is. In this particular case, you know, it's when talking about rockets, we're talking about particular forces and how do forces affect it, and, you know, what does it mean for the rocket to go up and when it comes down. Having them not only understand the concepts, but understand that there is a way to learn. And I think that's the biggest takeaway I have, and the biggest pleasure I get out of it is everybody's different. So even the students that were in, you know, these 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, everybody learns differently. What does that entail? Like, am I maybe not, my explanation's maybe not enough. Maybe I need to show a picture of it, and maybe a picture's not enough. Maybe they need to get their hands directly on the material. So it's tailoring to them and showing them, like, hey, learning math and science is not a scary thing. Like, yeah, it can get difficult and hard, especially when you're doing, you know, math equations that span like 3 different pages, but it shouldn't be scary. It's just a process that's been proven before and can be proven over and over again. So I've always gotten a pleasure from that. And since you're mentioning GEMS right now, one of the biggest, one of my best memories that I have is that recently we had some interns that came through YPG. Mm. And funny enough, some of those interns actually went through GEMS.
Wow.
And they were like, yeah, you know, remember, you're the rocket guy. You're helping on the GEMS program. And, you know, we launch rockets up in the air. I was like, holy smokes. Like, these people are coming out here to YPG now. Like, you know, these little kids that I was teaching or, you know, for 1 hour in a June summer hot day are actually got passionate enough about science and the community and YPG to actually try to intern here and hopefully get successful jobs over here as well.
Daniel, it's really good talking to you today.
Well, I appreciate the invite.
Alaska tends to enchant people who come despite its intense hardships. Arctic Region's Test Center Security Specialist Guy Lene has lived there for nearly 20 years after intending to stay for no more than 3. Today, he is very active in Delta Junction's local community. How did you wind up coming from Minnesota to Alaska?
Met my wife, and, you know, in our college years. And then after graduation, we got married and we moved. You know, we lived in Minnesota. And she started in her career. She got going in her career really well. And she was told by her mentor to look for a job outside of you know, in a different state to expand her career. And so we just started looking at different states that we would be interested in moving to, and pick out three states. And then we started looking for job opportunities. And Alaska was one of those states that we chose. And she found a position, she applied for it, and she was accepted. And so then we moved up here to Alaska in 2006. Our initial plan was just to stay in Alaska for 3 years and then move back to Minnesota. But once we were up here, we fell in love with the state, everything it had to offer. And we ended up building a house and started a family. And here we are, still here.
How much more rugged is life in Alaska than Minnesota?
The vastness of the state is just enormous. You can get lost very easily, in a good way. You can get away from anything you want, and explore. It's an unlimited adventure. You can, you know, go as extreme as you want or keep it as light as you want. And it's a really good fit for us. We've done, you know, float trips with the family, and hunting trips. It's been a really good experience for us. A great place to raise kids, experience the wilderness and the wildlife. And yeah, we've really enjoyed it.
How did you wind up at Arctic Regions Test Center?
So when we moved up here, my wife had a job. I did not. And so when we got up here, I had to find a job. And coming from a criminal justice degree, I was able to get picked up with the Greeley Security Force. And then a couple years later, I got picked up with the civilian side for the Fort Greeley Police Department. Did 5 years there. And towards the end of that 5 years is when we, you know, when my wife got pregnant, we realized we're going to have twins. And so I just started thinking about work schedule and, you know, that life. I wanted to be around for my daughters on the holidays and not, you know, the night shifts and everything. I just wanted a change of lifestyle. And so I started looking for a different position, and CRTC was hiring at the time, and everything worked out really well. And I got picked up at CRTC.
Like the rest of Alaska, the ranges here are pretty vast. I know you've got a small shop here, so you've got your hands full.
Yes. Yes, it is. It can be challenging at times, but it is definitely a high reward as well.
You coach youth hockey in your spare time. I hear you do very well against bigger and better resource teams.
Yeah, we do really well. Everything that our organization is ran off is this by donations. So there's no steady income. And we do really well. Great coaching staff, great volunteers help out. In the end, the kids are the ones that benefit from it. We've been able to go to tournaments throughout the state and bring home championships, both on co-ed and all girls team. So it's been, you know, Delta has had a really successful program for their youth hockey.
Well, you're talking all over, like Fairbanks is like 100 miles from here. Glen Allen's like 150.
Yes. You travel all the way from Fairbanks to Anchorage to the Kenai Peninsula and down to Homer. You travel the entire state almost.
You're coming up on 20 years in Alaska. Sounds like you've made the commitment. You're going to be here a while.
Yes, it is. It has gone by really fast. It was not a hard decision for us to stay. And it's been great all around.
You like working with the ARTC folks?
I do. ARTC is very much one of the best places I've ever worked. The people are great. It is a family-oriented organization. I enjoy what we do.
Hey, guys, it's really good talking to you today.
I appreciate it.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.